Welcome to Chic Perspectives. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. Thanks so much for joining us today. I have two wonderful authors with us on the show today talking about how to succeed with style. First up is Kimberly Wilson. Before I bring Kimberly on, I want to give a thank you to our sponsor, Pink Payments, merchant services for women, by women, and supporting women. Now, Kimberly Wilson is the author of Tranquilista and Hip Tranquil Chick. She is also the designer of an eco-fashion line called Tranquility and the founder of the Tranquil Space Foundation. So there's this whole cool theme here about tranquility, which I absolutely love. The foundation promotes yoga, creativity, and leadership in women and girls. And Kimberly lives in Washington, D.C. Her website is KimberlyWilson.com. Welcome to the Chic Perspectives Show, Kimberly.
Thank you. It's a treat to be here.
Yeah. Well, when I found out about your work, I knew you were just somebody that I had to have on and have a conversation with. So tell me about how you got started down this path.
Sure. So I am originally from Oklahoma, and I moved out to Washington, D.C. in 1996 and began my career out here. I was a paralegal and looking forward to retirement, like 1 year into working at the law firm. And I thought, you know, there just has to be more to life.
Right, that's not
25.
A good sign.
And, you know, hoping 40 years will pass so that I can go live my life. And then I started doing a lot more yoga, and I took a yoga teacher training, and I began reading and working through the book, The Artist's Way. And I really credit that book to the launch of my first enterprise, which is Tranquil Space, my yoga studio. And that started in my living room in 1999. And then I've been self-employed since 2000. And it's been a really interesting past decade.
It sounds like it. Well, congratulations. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
So tell our listeners, what is Tranquilista? What's the whole philosophy?
So a Tranquilista is a woman who lives her passion. She is the CEO, so to speak, of her own life, and it doesn't mean that she has to have her own business, but she is in charge of what it is that she's putting out into the world. And so the whole notion behind being a Tranquilista, clearly it's a play on, like, fashionista, and it's someone who embraces style, do-gooding, and really lives their passion in a way that ultimately makes a difference.
That's fantastic. I love this philosophy. So talk more about this idea of enlightened work and mindful play. You also talk about the idea of using mindful play, and I want to learn more about these concepts.
Sure. So enlightened work is the whole idea of the work that you do, you know, whether you are a stay-at-home mom or you're in charge of a Fortune 500 company, the idea is that you are really in touch with the work that you're doing and how it can make a difference. And so you're raising your children or you're writing a blog, you know, it's like, how can you make sure that you're doing it in a way that benefits society, benefits others, ultimately is making some sort of difference. And then mindful play is just all about enjoying the fun things in life, and but doing it in a way that's mindful. For example, when you grocery shop, maybe picking up berries from your farmer's market rather than some that have been flown in from Chile. You know, and so it's like everything you do in your life, just doing it with this dash of mindfulness or awareness.
Absolutely. Realizing that every little thing you do matters and how you do it matters, which brings us to this idea of style, which I talk a lot about here on the show. So you, in your book, have an entire chapter on style, which I love because so many people don't see the link between style and business or style and work. So how do you see style tying into work and also to play?
It's so interconnected, and I'm glad that you raised that, because a lot of people will raise it and be like, now how in the world does this tie into spirituality? And I'm like, how in the world does it not tie in? I mean, to me, style, it's not just the shoes you wear. Okay, that's so not kind of where I'm going here. The idea definitely comes off of the notion least for myself, whenever I am put together, I feel better. I mean, it makes such a difference. I mean, I remember as I was writing the manuscript and I did something on Twitter, I was like, you know, I just donned some red lipstick and for some reason I'm like ready to write again. You know, it's like, it just is kind of putting on that persona. But then style also translates to the way in which you communicate. Like, do you send thank you notes? Do you acknowledge other people for the effort that they put forth? Do you, how do you decorate your home? How do you decorate your office? Do you garden? Do you not? Like, you know, all these things tie into the style that surrounds us. It's like your overall vibe. What does your website look like? That's all about style.
Right. The idea of a brand and your marketing and all of that definitely ties in. And I think it's interesting how it also ties in on the personal level and who you're showing up as, whether it's for work or for play, and the impact that that has on your overall successful experience in either. So how did you find balance wearing that so many different hats, Kimberly? I look at all the stuff that you're doing and all these different companies and ventures that you've got going on. How on earth do you find balance?
Well, you know, balance to me is critical. And I'll tell you, in the initial starting of the business, it was hard for me to gain it. And I still definitely struggle with it, but it's critically important to me. Now I'm like very conscious about it. And so I'll do little things like all the time. You know, I get a manicure every 2 weeks. I get a pedicure once a month. I try to get monthly massages. I indulge in pots of tea every day. I surround myself by fresh cut flowers. I light candles. I light incense. You know, it's like these little things that really kind of nurture the spirit. And I take time every day to write in my journal or sit or do yoga. And all these things, oh my goodness, they make such a difference.
It really does. It really is the difference between living a ho-hum life or going to a ho-hum job and really creating something much more magical. And I love how you emphasize spirituality and do-gooding as real lifestyle essentials. Why do you think that these are so important to living a successful life and building a successful business?
Well, I think in order to build a successful life or business, you have to be in touch with who you are. And for me, that totally stems from a spiritual connection. And spirituality is many things to many people. You know, it could be spending time in nature, maybe playtime with your pet. It could be writing in your journal. It could be going to synagogue. I mean, whatever it is, like just making sure that you give yourself that time to connect within. And then do-gooding, it's great if you connect within, but what are you doing with it? How are you getting out there and ultimately trying to impact others in a positive way? And we all know the importance of going green and recycling and all that, but it's like, how can you even take that many steps further and, you know, start a charity drive at your office? I mean, there's so many things that we can do on a regular basis that can make an impact.
Yeah, you're so right. And I love the impact that you're making with your Tranquilista work. And you've certainly given everybody an inspiring message. And I know that a lot of people want to get in touch with you. So the website, again, is KimberlyWilson.com. And you can also find Kimberly on Twitter. Thanks so much for coming on today, Kimberly.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure. All right, next up on our guest list, we actually are going to take a quick break right now as we wait for our next caller, which I will be introducing in a moment. Welcome back to the Chic Perspective Show. Thanks for joining us today. Next up, I have got Shama Kabani, who is the president of the Marketing Zen Group. And Shama's new book, The Zen of Social Media Marketing, is incredible. I have really enjoyed going through this book. I love all of the exhibits and the how-tos. It's very practical. And what I like about it that is also really cool, it is the first living book on social media, which is so important because it's such a ever-changing topic. So, Shama, welcome to the Chic Perspective Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. So tell me about how you got the idea for the book in the first place.
It's a really good question. You know, I would be sitting in my office ready to head out, and I'd get these calls, frantic calls from people who just had questions about social media. I mean, and these were people who are, very qualified. They're smart folks, and they just couldn't wrap their head around how to use social media as a marketing tool. And after about a dozen of those phone calls or so, I figured, there really needs to be something which I can just hand them and say, here you go. Read this. You know, it'll walk you through. It'll give you strategy. It'll give you tactics. And really answer their questions. And so that's where the idea for the book even came about.
That's awesome. Well, it's so needed. And I really like the philosophy that you've put together. You were named one of Business Week's 25 Under 25 Entrepreneurs for 2009. That is such an exciting and impressive acknowledgement. Where have you gotten all of your business know-how?
Thank you so much. It's been an exciting ride. You know, the business know-how, especially in our industry, is constant. I did my, I have an academic background. I did my bachelor's and master's from the University of Texas at Austin, and I actually did my thesis, my master's thesis, on Twitter and why people use Twitter. And this was back before Twitter gained popularity.
Wow, so you were on the bleeding edge in terms of picking that as an important topic, like being able to realize the change, the huge changing consequences of the social media stuff.
It was really exciting. This was back in 07, and oddly enough, when I graduated with my degree and went to companies and approached them about social media because I'd seen it from the other side, no one was really interested at that point. I was told, no, social media is not going to take off. This is, our clients are corporate. They're not interested in this. And then, of course, lo and behold, now everyone has a branch dedicated to that. So,
right. I think that most people at this point have acknowledged that social media is going to be part of our day-to-day marketing strategy. How do companies need to start embracing these tools and looking at them strategically on how this fits in with how they market and sell their products and services?
Right. And I think the most important thing here is to remember that social media really comes last. I think so many companies and even individuals get excited about social media because it's a new, exciting tool, but they don't really have the strategy in place. They don't really have a business model in place. And so, all the basics of business still stand true. Social media is just the ultimate amplifier. So it's funny because most people say, I'm ready for social media marketing first, and I'll usually tell them, no, it comes last. You have to have a great website. You have to have a good business model. You have to have good customer service in place. And when you're ready to amplify all that, then social media can come into play.
Okay, good point. So don't just start tweeting if you don't really have the rest of it figured out yet.
Well, you can, but you're not going to get, a very good result out of it.
It's not advisable. Well, I mean, customers, I think, are starting to make decisions. This is starting to influence purchase behavior of consumers. Is it not?
Absolutely. I mean, there's studies after studies that show the same thing. Your last study that I looked at showed that 84% of people actually will make a decision after consulting their friends, and their friends are now online.
Right. So that no longer means knocking on your next door neighbor's door. It means logging on Facebook.
Exactly. I mean, you just think about, last time you went to go see a movie, the chances are you didn't pick up the phone and call your friends. You went on Facebook and said, hey, I'm going to go pick a movie this weekend. Have you guys seen this, and what do you think?
And that really starts a conversation and a dialogue about all the different things that consumers are out there looking for and buying on a regular basis. Are there any particular industries that you think the social media has been particularly influential?
Social media has actually had an impact across all industries, and that's what's amazing about it. It's been such an equalizer in so many ways because you look at a nonprofits and how the Red Cross was using it after the earthquake in Haiti. And then you look at online retailers and how they're using it. And you look at Hollywood and how they're using it. So it's been amazing to see how social media has leveled the playing field in so many ways, and it's not just one industry that's been able to make the most of it. It's been industries across the board.
So how can an entrepreneur start to really shape their online presence via social media?
You know, the best thing that entrepreneurs can do when they're looking at social media is figuring out their offline strategy first. And I know that sounds a little counterintuitive, but kind of we talked about don't tweet before you actually know what you're going to tweet about. So really taking the time to say, what's my brand? What is going to be my differentiator online? And how am I going to provide value? Now, that's really a key question for all entrepreneurs to ask is, you know, as I'm trying to establish my business and market, because social media is not a selling tool, right? It's not a marketer's tool. It really belongs to the consumers to say, how can I provide such value that people are going to feel compelled to share and that automatically generates buzz about what we're doing?
Right. In your book, you say, don't answer Twitter's question, which is, what are you doing? Because nobody cares. So what should people be Twittering about?
Right. And so I think this question that comes up even on Facebook and Twitter and what's on your mind, what are you doing right now? Of course, it seems like they're asking the right question. You know, people just answer. But I can honestly guarantee that no one really cares if you're, you know, brushing your teeth or taking your dog for a walk. The key there is to really answer the question in a way that you kind of rephrase it to yourself and say, what can I share right now that furthers my brand in some way and provides value? So very simple example. If, you know, I often see people tweeting things like, stuck in traffic, this sucks, right? You can compare that to saying, you know, stuck in traffic, don't take 635 West because there's an accident, right?
Uh-huh.
Same message, but now you might have actually provided someone with something of substance rather than just using it as a tool to vent your feelings.
Very good point. I like Chapter 7, too, which is all about video, the next frontier, and I do think that this is huge, especially for the small business owner. Talk about what people need to know about using web video and how they can use it to make an impact.
Oh, wow. Video can be so powerful online, and it's still, I wouldn't say in its infancy, but I think it's getting more traction. It's amazing. One of the statistics that I believe that chapter shares is, you know, 64% of people will finish watching up to a 30-minute commercial video clip. So, you know, Billy Mays selling something on television, right? Versus 24% that will finish reading an article or a post. And
wow.
That statistic is staggering to me because I myself am a reader, but you have to look at it from the consumer perspective and say, people like video. It helps conversions. They feel more connected to you. It's the next best thing than to actually being there, you know, face-to-face with them. And so it's such an amazing opportunity to be able to reach people if you integrate online video into your marketing activities, but also looking at online video from, you know, the perspective of it's so easy to put together now. You know, the technology's out there. The tools are easy. There are so many snap and shoot cameras now. It's really so easy to integrate online video, and that's one thing that I've seen, you know, across all industries that people can integrate at any point in their business.
And it makes a really powerful impact, that one-on-one kind of personal connection, much more than the words on a website can. It's sort of like, you know, the picture tells it was worth a 1,000 words only on steroids, because a video is worth like even
that's
way more.
That's exactly putting it. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I love also that you talk about metrics, because I think a lot of people can get lost on some of this stuff and not really measure the bottom line business benefits. So what are the metrics that you recommend people keep an eye on to make sure what they're doing is actually working and continuing to move them in the right direction?
So there's really two ways to measure things when it comes to social media and online marketing in general. And the two ways are quantitative and qualitative. The quantitative are the numbers that you can measure. And these can be things like getting the new visitors to your website. It can be how much time someone spends on your website when they get there. You know, how many fans your Facebook fan page has, for example. These are quantitative numbers that you can touch, feel, and see essentially grow up. And then there's qualitative, which in my opinion can sometimes even be more powerful than quantitative, because this is really the word of mouth stuff, right? This is what are people saying about you? How are they communicating? Are they sharing the messages you put out there? You know, what's your reputation like online? And that can sometimes be a lot more valuable than even the numbers that you measure. And really being able to keep tabs on both is key part, I think, of social media metrics.
That's a good point. Balancing the qualitative with the quantitative. Absolutely huge. And I should have known because, you know, we're marketing Zen here. Shama, we're almost out of time. It's been such a pleasure getting to know you. And I definitely look forward to seeing more of you online and in the social media world. I always like to ask my guests to share one chic tip, one tip or strategy that's made a big difference for them and they want to share with our other listeners. What's your chic tip?
My chic tip, and oddly enough, is to be human. You know, when you're online, it's so easy to forget that people are not just a screen name, that there is someone behind that screen name. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in numbers and want overnight success because, you know, you're online, there's so much hype and buzz about, you know, get so many followers overnight and whatnot. And I think the key component is really to be human, to be yourself, and to recognize that you're dealing with human beings. Just, you know, it's just using a different piece of technology.
So important. Absolutely fabulous. Thank you so much for coming on the Chic Perspective Show. Shama Kambani, and where can everybody pick up the book and find out more?
Thanks so much for having me. The book is available at zenofsocialmedia.com. That's zenofsocialmedia.com.
Excellent. And they can also follow you on Twitter at Shama.
They absolutely can. Yes, at Shama.
All right. We'll be talking to you soon. Thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, everybody. This is Elizabeth Gordon wrapping up the Chic Perspective Show for today. Thanks for tuning in. Once again, thank you to our sponsor, Pink Payments, merchant services for women, by women, and supporting women. Check out more Chic Perspectives at chicentrepreneur.com. Until next time, wishing you all chic success.